like to get off, because there just really is no point to chasing this thing the rest of my life now that I know I'm never going to get it. As a matter of fact, I never could appreciate dog races, because I couldn't understand why a dog would continue to chase the rabbit night after night when it had become obvious long since that he was never going to catch it. I think if I was in his position after 5 or 6 times of running around that track and finding that I never catch the rabbit, I probably would start chasing something else. Maybe the girl dogs or something. But they'd never get me to chase the rabbit again. But many individuals take the attitude then that happiness comes in the chase rather than in the reward. That it is the working toward the goal that gives you your happiness and not really the attainment of it. I think this is similar to the connotation that's often applied to sex, that it is 95% anticipation and 5% satisfaction. Well, suppose I suddenly get the idea that I would like a vanilla ice cream cone and that this would give me great pleasure, meaning mental well-being, to enjoy a vanilla ice cream cone. So I get up out of my soft chair and climb in the car and drive down to the drugstore, pay my 10 cents, and get a vanilla ice cream cone and eat it. And nothing, no satisfaction whatsoever. Just a dull, dry experience. Well, all I can say is that the next time I get an urge for a vanilla ice cream cone, rather than jump out of my chair and into the car and run down the store, I'm going to examine that urge more closely to see if I can understand better where it was I was misled the last time. I'm not going to take the attitude that, well, happiness comes in running down to the store to get the vanilla ice cream cone. Don't worry about whether or not it really tastes good when you get it. And if somebody says, well, after all, getting out in the air and taking a drive did you good, you know, I can simply say that that would do me good anyway, and I don't need the vanilla ice cream cone to get up and go out and take a drive if that's what would do me good. If one finds that the goal does not live up to his anticipation, then he shouldn't just shrug his shoulders and say, well, that's the way life is. Instead, he should re-examine his decision-making process to see why he is doing such a poor job of calculating in advance what would bring him well-being, to see if there aren't better goals that he could be working for. As I mentioned last week, if you have chosen wisely, the reward in well-being should be greater than any of the progress reports that come to you along the way. And if you have been content to find happiness in your work, then of course recognize that as a consumption value. But I can only suggest that you might even find greater happiness if that work is directed towards a realistic goal, meaning one that really will produce happiness, in which case you'll get the happiness out of the work itself plus the happiness from the reward at the end of it. But once again, happiness is the mental feeling of well-being. And realizing only that, the individual can more carefully evaluate projected goals and ask himself if he is likely to get from the successful completion of them the well-being that he is seeking in life. Is the goal of my act, for instance, to impress my neighbors? Well, if so, then I have to ask myself if I really get a sense of mental well-being out of impressing my neighbors if they compliment me or say, oh, you got a bigger car than I did, or something else. Or do I find that the lack of conviction in their statements really leave me with mixed emotions? If I do, I might just as well disregard that as a workable goal or a workable method of finding happiness and get on to something that would be more meaningful, more productive of positive, tangible well-being. Now, obviously, the question, what will bring me well-being, is not a simple one that can be answered simply in all cases. But that is never an excuse for throwing away the standard. And a little later, we'll see how easy it is to throw away the standard inadvertently. Now it's important that we recognize that an individual can be acting either to produce positive happiness or to avoid unhappiness. I think that this is all on one long scale, which you could symbolically say goes from 0 to 100%, 100% being the maximum possible well-being that you could get, and 0 being just positive, absolute mental discomfort and uneasiness and anxiety. Now, at about 50 then, on this symbolic scale, you would be in a state of somewhat neutrality where you feel neither any euphorious feeling of well-being nor any feeling of anxiety or uneasiness. You probably are just quiet and looking at things as they are. But the point is, at any given time, the individual is acting to go higher on the scale or to prevent himself from going lower on the scale, depending upon the nature of the decision that he's faced with. The individual can be in a position where he is either acting to increase the happiness he now has, or he is acting to keep from getting more unhappiness than he now has, or decreasing the amount of happiness he's currently enjoying. And this brings up the concept of profit or loss. And I like Andrew Galambos' definition of profit as a moral increase in happiness. By moral, he means any exchange that has taken place on a completely